Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by, I was going to say Pete Zayas, but you're not Pete Zayas. Harrison, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm, you know, like a little bit of a whirlwind last hour or so because they just did the Gasol deal when we're recording this. But, you know, I was, as you know, I keep pre-writes ready for everything. So I was ready and it did not jinx it. So you actually have to take back some of the slanderous things that you've said about me about how every single time I pre-write something, it doesn't happen. Because we're now like, I don't know, I feel like I'm batting almost 100% this offseason.
No.
Only one that hasn't come through yet is the Anthony Davis trade or Anthony Davis signing.
No, there's no way you have that high a percentage.
I'm pretty close.
To 100%?
Yeah.
So what were your pre-writes heading into this one?
Well, I had Lakers keep JaVale McGee, Lakers don't keep JaVale McGee. I had... I figured out the way around the jinx. I just write for every scenario.
Somehow you actually got both of them.
Yeah. That was the rare case where both scenarios paid off. I was able to save the JaVale opts out one and repurpose it into the JaVale traded one.
Okay. So what are your other pre-writes then?
I mean, just pretty much every guy on the roster, either they signed or they didn't re-sign. So actually, I'm probably closer to above 50%. But
so
still.
Like if you say like, if you just go ahead and pre-write every potential scenario, then yeah, you're right, Harrison. Way to go. You nailed all of them.
Did I get the Lakers Marc Gasol? I'm not saying I did, but I'm not saying I didn't either.
We have a ton to get to. So originally I was going to open up the mailbag and answer questions for tomorrow's show. Decided not to do that because it's been a very busy weekend. I was also going to bring Pete onto the show, but because he is a Lakers insider, literally he is inside her, we cannot talk about any potential additions to the team until they're official. So that would have been a giant waste of your time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, look, I have a lot of respect for what Pete brings and the way that the two of you were kind of able to like dodge and duck around some of this stuff.
We've been doing a bunch of fucking yoga, like,
yeah, like there is, if you would have brought Pete on for this podcast, it would have been the most, you guys would have had to do 30 minutes on the Wesley Matthews signing and that's it, because that is the only one that is official, and the rest of it would have either been you talking about the other guys and him going yeah, sure, would be nice to have like a really good center, you know, that is like tall and bulky and, you know, Spanish,
maybe the brother of a former Laker.
Yeah, maybe played for a team in Canada, but hasn't always played there. Maybe was originally drafted by the Lakers. Someone like that would be great.
I was actually thinking about doing something like that. And because tomorrow, like, they probably aren't going to announce all these things officially because they can't.
Tomorrow they can officially start to announce signings today I think they could, but like, yeah, today teams can announce signings. It's just because of the cap mechanisms that the Lakers are using. Like, they have to, a lot of stuff has to happen before they can officially announce certain ones of these.
Yeah. I don't think by the time I talk to Pete next, I don't think I'm still going to be able to talk about this. So that's going to be a fun episode.
Don't tune in tomorrow.
So we'll see how this goes, but we do have plenty for Harrison and me to talk about. Harrison is hopping on the show because I wrote a post for Silver Skin and Roll when I didn't actually have to. So we have the Lakers re-signing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Since the last time I talked to you guys, they re-signed KCP. They signed Marc Gasol. We aren't sure how they're going to finish off the rest of the roster, right? As it stands right now, and actually, Harrison, this is where I wanted to start this, because here's the rotation as it stands. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, Wes Matthews, Marc Gasol. That is quite the 8 or 9 man roster. Like, that's the best 8 or 9 man roster in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it would be really hard. I'm not even going to try and make that case. I feel like it would be almost impossible to argue against that. Like at this point, you know, obviously other teams may have moves up their sleeves that they can try and make some things happen or whatever. But at this point in free agency with who's left, like, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Like the Lakers are finally going to have a little bit more of an argument in the all important, like who has the best, you know, four players in a playoff series argument that, you know, we had to deal with the entire run to the title. Like they've somehow, I think they've gotten a little worse defensively, most yes. likely, yeah. but I don't think that it's as significant as the amount of improvement they've probably made offensively with these additions mm-hmm. that they've been able to make. And yeah, like, I said this on Twitter, you know, basketball math's interesting. And like Pete always talks about the chemistry and the ingredients and how they fit together and stuff like that. There's obviously a chance that last team.
It's funny to think about Pete talking about ingredients, given how terrible a cook he is.
Yeah, but he's a great basketball chef, like that team added up to probably greater than any of us would have said going into the season, the sum of its parts work just because of how well everything fit together. And we got to see it with this team, but on paper, it really does look like they've made upgrades in almost every area. And they still have to finish out this offseason, right? Like Anthony Davis still is officially, you know, re-signed and all that stuff, even though it seems like a foregone conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have a couple of roster spots left to, that they still have to fill. It seems like Markieff Morris may come back, but maybe not. And so as of when we're recording this, but overall, from top to bottom, it does seem like they've gotten significantly better.
Yeah,
and they just won the championship.
I headed into this offseason basically hoping for like an understanding of the team's identity and what was successful last year, and hoping that they would, you know, make some tweaks on the peripheries to be able to you know, improve the roster while maintaining that identity. And they didn't do that. Like they basically said, nope, this isn't for whatever reason, last year's identity wasn't enough. They've just like gone out and straight up rethought or revamped the roster and the team's identity. And I have a theory as to like why they might have done that or what went into their thinking on this. I'm still very excited about this team. I get a little nervous about, like, you know, changing the identity the way they did with the championship roster, because that isn't what we're normally used to with teams that win rings. But still, it's a very fascinating team. It's a very exciting team. I think next year's season might be more fun somehow than this year's was, partially because 2020 sucks so bad. So 2021 can't get worse. I have some theories on all of that, frankly. So let's take a quick second here. Let's.
I knew you were going to throw to a break as soon as you said you had a theory. I'm like, oh, he's teeing up a break. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm working ESPN Radio. Get at me. Don't get at me. Please don't get at me, because things are going really well. But get at me. I'll talk to you guys later.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
All
All right, which theory would you prefer first? So I have theories on the shifting of the identity. I have a theory on like why they went in the general direction that they did. And I have a theory on how good this team could possibly be next year. So
those not all go in the same, but I mean, I feel like those are all extensions of one idea, right? Like
Harrison, we're recording a Lakers show. It's not like I'm like, I have a theory of relativity. I have a theory. Yeah, I was going to say,
like, Anthony, these all sound like one long
theory. I have a theory on like the new Spider-Man, like Miles Morales versus Peter Parker. Like which would you rather prefer? Like of the theories that I presented you, which direction would you like to go in?
I guess why do you think, because I have a theory on this too, but why do you think that they went in the direction that they did?
So I think they looked at the way last year's season went and knew that they could win that way potentially, but also understood that playing defense as intensely as they did takes a lot out of both Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And both those guys are more, LeBron especially, is more talented offensively than he is defensively. So let's make the game as easy as possible offensively so that, and also like, you know, the simple explanation is that like Montrezl Harrell is more talented than anybody they had on the roster last year that they could have added otherwise. Same goes for,
LeBron and AD, obviously.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wow, Anthony's really high on Montrezl Harrell.
That's a simple explanation, right? Is it like Montrezl Harrell is like the best talent that they could have acquired this offseason, so they went in that direction.
Yeah, but I also think in the trade and
But I also think though that they're where their heads were at in terms of intrinsically thinking about the game of basketball is that the way that they played defense last year takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot out of LeBron James to play that hard on defense. So why not see if you can just outscore some teams this year? And they went out and they got Schroeder and they got Harrell and added Wes Matthews, who is basically a version of Danny Green, and now added Marc Gasol, who is not as physically dominant as, you know, Dwight Howard was last year, but is better offensively than he was, can spread the floor and all of those things. And I think the Lakers basically said, like, let's just go out and outscore some teams more often than we did last year. Let's see what that looks like. And frankly, I think I agree with the theory. What do you think of my ideology behind the moves that they made so far, though?
No, I think you're pretty much right on. I think as an extension of that, like, not even just making not even just making winning easier, but also like making it easier from the perspective of a lot of, I don't know if there would have been as much turnover if there was a longer off season, but because of how short and truncated this is, they're going to need guys that can kind of carry things a little bit at times when LeBron and AD, either they're taking it easy that night, load managing on the floor, or they're sitting out entirely, or they're just making sure that they don't have to overtax them offensively to win games and stuff like that. Like, I think there's quite a bit of that. I think that some of it is these are just upgrades, like you said, like that. So if those are available, you just make the upgrades. And I also think there's something to the idea of this. They understood, like, this was a great team. They just won the championship. You know what I mean? But, yeah. I think that they understood that it was a flawed team.
Not just won the championship, like, ran away with it.
Yeah. But I also think that they understood that there were certain flaws and Achilles heels that team had that did not end up getting exploited. But, like, you could see it back at the trade deadline. Like, they didn't. Mm-hmm. They added Dion Waiters because they felt like they were at a ball handling
deficit. That's a great point.
You know what I mean? Like, they added J.R. Smith because they were, you know, probably just, like, partially because Avery Bradley opted out, but also because they were like, okay, let's see what a little bit of extra shooting can give us. Like, maybe we don't have enough shooting. You know, neither of those additions ended up mattering at all. And, like, I'm not saying that they were counting on them to, but I think that they knew that there were certain skill sets that they were lacking that they maybe needed a little bit more of. And, like, these don't necessarily, like, the Schroeder trade takes care of the ball handling problem. Like, all of a sudden you have pretty much playoff Rondo for like the entire regular season and like hopefully playoffs as well. And then, you know, the Montrezl Harrell gives him a perfect guy for him to play off of in the pick and roll, much in the same way that Trez did with Lou Williams and stuff like that. Helps them, gives them a guy that can go get some buckets during the season so that they don't have to rely so much on AD and LeBron for the bulk of their scoring load, in addition to Schroeder doing some of that. You have Wes Matthews, who, as you mentioned, is probably the same caliber of shooter that Green was last year at this point, and is maybe not as good of a defender, but probably close, and is a lot cheaper. So you're able to bring him in. You bring in Gasol, who is, like you said, an upgrade offensively on Dwight, and maybe a downgrade defensively, but I'm not even sure that's true. I think they're just different defenders. And so you have to figure that out. And so, like, you know, just going through all of this, like, I think that they just knew that there were clear ways that they could get better and make this a more balanced team overall.
Yeah, I think... there's just so much to take in here with this team before we move on, because I want to spend the last segment of the show kind of celebrating the excitement level that we both have for this team.
Are you having an argument on Twitter right now as I was talking? This is unbelievable. You asked me to come on and then you're not even listening to what I'm saying.
Look, if I can shit on Adam Mattis, who I do Lockdown NBA with, I'm going to do it whenever I'm doing it. Like whenever
playing the small market victim again.
I'm not going to do it on the show, because what I could say right now is really, really mean. but I won't do that. All right. So there are two topics that I want to talk about. The second topic, we're going to spend the second segment the third segment talking about it. But I do want to wrap up this segment before we throw it a break, talking about like how cool it is that the Lakers are going to have a Gasol in the organization again. Like, this is like, I wouldn't go so far as to say like I got emotional when it was announced or whatever. But when you think about everything that Powell meant and still means, by the way, to the Lakers, you think about the way that he has played such a role in the Bryant family since Kobe and Gianna's passing. And then you add to all of that, Marc Gasol now signing with the Lakers. It's just, you know, as if this offseason couldn't be any cooler. Like, it's such a perfect bow on top of the gift, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, like I think the cherry on top of all of this is like, number one, they need to let Powell retire as a Laker and announce that they're going to retire his jersey. Yeah. And because I think he already announced that he's like retiring from the NBA,
basically,
right? So like I don't see them actually signing him to come and play for them, but like it would be really cool to have him at games next year and have his jersey retirement night and like all of that stuff, and bring him around just for the role that he's played for this, not even just for this fan base, for Vanessa in the wake of all the Kobe stuff, and like you know, just the role that he played in like an instrumental and unforgettable period of success for the Lakers. Like, now that his brother's there, like, let's, you know, not that there are probably still very many wounds at this point between those two sides, but like the way that things ended for him in LA weren't the best. Let's, you know, like put a bow on that, like bring him back into the organization, like get his jersey retired up there, hang next to Kobe's where it belongs and where Kobe said that it belongs, and like have it on the night that like his brother's actually in uniform. Like, this just makes even cooler. You know what I mean?
I just thought about that. Like, Mark's going to be sitting there like the night that they raise that jersey up into the rafters, maybe slide Taylor Swift's jersey like one over.
And to be fair to Powell, they may want to wait on that until there can be fans in attendance again. Like, I wouldn't necessarily want to deny him that.
But
moment.
That but moment that's a 2-year deal, so maybe incredible.
Yeah, so maybe Mark will still be around for it, or you know, now he has a reason to come in, you know, and like be part of a Lakers celebration too.
Yeah, that moment when that actually is handled, and all of that, you know, that like that actual moment when, like, so for example, one way they could actually do this is have like Vanessa on the rope to like unveil it you know, just to like, just cause Kobe and Pau were so synonymous in Lakers success, have Vanessa on there or Jeannie or whatever, just to have that moment there would be so incredible. Like, you know, I know this, we're talking about frosting on a cake that appears like we're going to talk about this in the next segment about like what this team could do competitively speaking, but while we're just talking about frosting here, it's such an idealistic, optimal moment to have everybody in the stands for that moment, especially.
No, it's like bring a Gasol back into the Lakers. Yeah, like
Lamar will be there. Like,
yeah, was, you know, always going to be special.
Right. And, you know, I was talking to Jen about this earlier, and I know we're stretching. Sorry, David, we're going to throw the break here in a bit, but I was talking to Jen about it earlier, and I thought, shit, in the emergency episode that I recorded right before this one, I basically said that I'm not sure a Gasol would want to do actual business with the Lakers, given the way that it ended with Powell, right? Where he was always in trade rumors. He was literally traded. And then the not the Lakers. It's not like the Lakers rescinded the trade. It was the league. And David Stern that stepped in and said, like, no, that trade actually isn't going to happen. And so I was telling Jen, like, I didn't think that the Lakers would ever be able to do business with the Gasol family ever again. And it looks like they did, you know,
new regime, I guess, is like the thing, because I thought the same thing, that he probably wouldn't have any love lost for LA or, you know, warm, fuzzy feelings about his brother's time there. But, you know, new regime, time heals all wounds. Like, you know, the Lakers, I think, have clearly like started to mend the fence with Pau. And, you know, I've thought for a while that like if there was ever a reason that Vanessa would ever come back to a Laker game, it would be for Pau's jersey retirement. Yeah. But, like, I just wanted to address that real quick, because like I not that you're saying this, but I don't think that should be the expectation. Like, that might be something to ever happen ever again. But like, you know, that would be an incredibly cool and tear jerking moment to, like, you know, just for the role that he's taken as almost like, you know, a substitute patriarch at times for that family. It really does seem like for them to be there for him in the way that he's been there for them would be really cool.
Yeah, it's not that I'm expecting anything of them. If Vanessa says, like, frankly, like, shit, the first time I walk into Staples Center and I see Kobe's jersey up there, jerseys, plural, the first time I see them up there, I'm going to say, like, oh my God, that's an actual thing that we're still dealing with. So that Vanessa would ever walk into that building and be asked to walk into that building is going to be a very difficult emotional decision for her to make. But, you know, just if she was amicable to it.
Yeah.
And it was Pau's night, that I just think that'd be a very, very fulfilling emotional moment. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the basketball behind where the Lakers are right now. And I got to say, in the literal years, like, we've been doing the show now for about 5 years now. This is the most excited I've ever been to cover a Lakers team. And I want to talk about that, frankly, for Harrison and me both. So let's take a quick second, pay some bills. We'll come back and talk about that. So if I had an executive producer, or if I was like professional enough to set up this segment, I would have done this already. But I would love to look back on the roster that the Lakers had when you and I first started hosting this thing and they were trying to lose, and then like bring that and compare that to where the Lakers are right now. So the Lakers rotation as it looks like right now is LeBron, Anthony Davis, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, Wesley Matthews, Marcus Hall, and then maybe Markieff Morris, though I don't know if they have enough money to convince him to come back.
Yeah, at this point, they can't do any better than the minimum. So, like, you know, or it doesn't seem like, based on what I've seen. So he'd have to just really want to come back.
I'm curious, because I haven't lost my fandom. It's been kind of, it's crazy that, like, you know, after all these, you know, 7 years or whatever, and given how low the team has been since I started covering them, that I still maintain my fandom for the team. Do you still have, like, are you still a Laker fan?
I think the last year has definitely brought it back a little bit. Like, you know, I mean, you know me, I still try to be a little bit removed and objective and things like that. But, like, you know, I've told the story before, but getting to, like, watch this was Mia's, my wife's first championship run, and getting to watch it with her, I think, like, reignited a lot of that passion.
That's cool.
For me, like, it was really just fun to watch how, you know, just the highs and lows, like her crying after the game one loss against Portland versus, like, you know, how excited she was telling the Rockets to suck it, like, when you know, the Lakers were just dominating them and stuff.
I
like
love
that.
Mia's, so, yeah, like, Alex Caruso coverage, it's the best.
Yeah no, like, you know, Alex Caruso and THT, so those were her two favorites.
So, but, like, so where you are here with this roster, do you find yourself, like, very excited as a fan? Like, do you look at it as, like, holy shit, this is a very capable team that could win a championship. So we might be in for another season of covering a championship team. Like, how are you looking at this before I get into it myself?
Honestly, it's all of it. Like, I'm just excited to watch this team play basketball. And I think that, like, you know, obviously, if they would have just run it back, like, that would have been still a really good team. They just won the championship.
Right.
But, like, it would have been, you know, we would have been watching a lot of load management. We would have been having to say, like, look, we know that they can flip a switch. So da 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 da. Like, you know, we've kind of seen this movie before. This feels a little bit, you know, it's like going and watching a sequel to one of your favorite movies ever, where, you know, some of the cast has changed over. There's some new characters, like, you know, the plot's not the same, but there are similar beats. Like, this feels like they are bringing in, you know, enough new people that there's going to be a fresh infusion of both enthusiasm and, like, fun basketball questions to talk about. Like, did you really want to do 70 podcasts next year on whether Rondo has playoff Rondo left in him again? You know what I mean? Like, that's gone. Like, now we get to talk about, yeah, okay, like, how does this team measure up against last year's team? How are they making these offensive improvements that they've been able to make? How do X, Y, and Z fit together? Like, it's just a more exciting and, like, you know, I don't know if they'll be better. Like, it seems like they could be, but we don't know yet. But I'm excited to watch them try, and I'm excited to watch, to kind of figure this stuff out along with the team and watch kind of how all of these pieces fit together in this puzzle.
Yeah, the idea of not having to talk about Rondo is actually very exciting. You know,
what's funny, I just did a Hawks podcast today explaining Rondo to them, and I was like, yeah, you're going to be aggravated, but he'll probably be good for your team long term.
I could totally see Rondo being a big factor in, like, the Hawks upsetting their first round opponent, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Like, playoff Rondo, teams won't scout for that guy.
I will no longer doubt playoff Rondo, but
no, never again.
I'm glad, I'm really happy that the Lakers weren't, like, planning on playoff Rondo, you know, weren't banking on playoff Rondo. Like, if I was walking into a casino right now, and I would tell Jen, like, yeah, I'm going to walk in there with $250 that I'm willing to gamble. And I'm planning on being able to gamble $500 because the first thing I'm going to do is walk up to the roulette wheel and bet $250 on black to see how that goes, right?
And I'm betting $250 on playoff Rondo to average 3 more assists in the playoffs than he did in the regular season.
Right. So, like, Jen would probably ask me, like, what the fuck are you doing, right? Like, what the actual hell are you doing there? So I'm glad that the Lakers aren't banking on that. But you know what? Like, maybe it's because of how well the offseason has gone. Which, by the way, we also got to, you know, give Rob Pelinka his flowers the way that the, you know, to use.
Yeah, for
the,
real. Like, this is a guy who last summer you were running with
the cap. Don't you dare
narrative.
Don't you dare go you on this one. You were also concerned too, by the way.
No, I said, you could go back Harrison? And look. I said, there, I feel Harrison. Like there is no way that Harrison? He doesn't understand the cap. That was
you
the
have
one
a
thing
giraffe long
at.
Neck. There's no way you stuck it out that far for Rob Pelinka. There's
no way. I was skeptical about the reporting on that. And that like this guy who had been doing contracts for years, like did not understand how the cap worked. Like a lot of times these agents understand it better than the GM.
You weren't sure that he was this good at his job.
Oh, no. I was not sure by any means. The point that I was making was like that last summer, there were people seriously trumpeting the narrative. You know, I said you just to give you a hard time, but you were not the only one that Rob Pelinka.
I had sourcing on that. That like
did not understand.
There were people around the league were like, no, he just fucked this up.
Yeah, and like meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks literally just like not only did they prematurely leak that they had basically like kept Giannis because of this Bogdan Bogdanovich, and like they've reinforced their core with a strong cadre of, you know, talent and whatever, like, you know, whatever the live read for the GM was on that one.
Yeah.
And like then messed up the deal, didn't get to do it, accidentally overpaid, like accidentally messed up a contract with, who was it? Connaughton or whatever on their team, and then had to pay him more just to like deal with the embarrassment of it. But then also had apparently misunderstood that rule or something. Like there was a story in The Athletic where this dude just misunderstood like every single turn of their offseason, and they had to like
win executive of the year next year, by the way.
Yeah, I know, exactly. They're gonna get number one. They like Giannis is gonna sign a supermax and he'll win exec of the year. Like it's so funny to me that like, you know, this guy Rob Pelinka, who like no one fully trusted, it myself included, you know, what he was doing. And there were the protests outside Staples Center. People were upset online. Like, I know that there are people listening to this that are like, I never lost faith. It's like, okay, well, congratulations on your blind faith.
All five of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like that are being honest with yourselves that never lost faith.
Yeah.
Like, and he's turned around, and not only did he put together a team that fit together as well as any team I've ever seen and make all of us eat some giant piles of crow that doubted him. Now he's gone and like, you know, up against the cap, all of this stuff, they've been able to not only like bring back KCP, like they're going to bring back Anthony Davis, like, but they've been able to basically upgrade at every other position where they have departing guys, you know. Like, it's incredible what Rob has been able to like turn around and do. Rob, and I guess, you know, we have to give credit to LeBron too, I'm sure. But
yeah, it helps, right? I think Gasol is the only non-clutch client that they have signed this offseason.
Yeah, well, hey, look, the Knicks have only signed CAA clients, I think, so they're still doing all right.
So, if you're going to align yourself with an agency, clutch is the way to go.
No, well, Wes Matthews isn't clutch, I don't
CAA,
think.
Right? Get at me if you guys want to represent me, you know, and I don't want to pay you, but yeah.
Matthews isn't clutch, I don't think. I'd have to look this up, but I don't think he's clutch. He might be.
Are you sure? I think he might be.
Okay.
Let's Google that while I'm talking.
Yes, go ahead.
But I will say though, like, so regarding Pelinka, I have always said, and this is like I'm consistent on this regarding Pelinka, just like I am regarding any young Laker that I wasn't a fan of early on, right? So Kuzma falls into this category as well. I always say, I hope I'm wrong when I say that I am not as high on somebody affiliated with the Lakers. Frankly, anybody...
Matthews does not appear to be a clutch client, just to, okay, good to know. Just to good tie enough. The loop on that.
So they are five of the six signings that they have are clutch, or no, four of the six, right? Because Marc Gasol is not a clutch client.
Gasol being a clutch client would be hilarious. Just in the great. Background of those photos, like when they're posing and stuff. Like,
so I've always said though that, like, you know, if I'm lower on a Laker than others are, I hope I'm wrong. If I am lower on an NBA player or a prospect, I always say, I hope I'm wrong, because that means there's more talent making its way into the league. When it comes to Rob Pelinka, so I was thinking about this earlier tonight, and I think it's so fucking cool. So not only am I happy to be wrong on Pelinka, not only am I happy that like Pelinka seems to have figured this out to the extent where like, I don't think the Lakers would be better off right now than they would be with like Bob Myers. Maybe you can make a case for Masai Ujiri because he appears to be like just ridiculously good at his
other
job.
Other than losing Marc Gasol, Anthony, losing Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard. And other than that. Yeah.
We'll see. You know, they picked up Baines, so we'll see what the Raptors look like next year.
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, Baines is really good and Masai's really good.
There's a case to be made that like, is Baines as good as Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka? Like there's, you know, you could that's a fun conversation to have. But what I'm saying is that like the Lakers like might be in better hands right now than any organization in the league in terms of their GM, president, whatever we're talking about. And the fact that I'm saying that right now is I'm really thrilled to say that, not just because it means that the Lakers are going to be really fucking good for like the foreseeable future because their GM is really good, but also because like, you know, it comes back to what we were talking about earlier with the Gasol connection, right? With the Gasol Bryant connection. But the fact that Kobe trusted Rob Pelinka with his career and told the Lakers, no, you guys are going to want to head down this path with this guy as your leader, right?
Yeah,
this
guy's going to be lighting the way. I saw the tweet resurface yesterday. He's like, I know Rob's going to get the Lakers back on track, like one of his old tweets.
I think that is so freaking cool. Like, you know, I think there people will go out of their way to find, you know, connections, sometimes numerical, whatever connections to the number 24 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I will sometimes roll my eyes at. But in this case, there's an emotional connection to Kobe via Rob Pelinka that is, and the fact that Pelinka appears to be really effing good at his job is just so cool. Like, not only is it that the Lakers like, won a championship under his stewardship, but on top of that, he appears capable of improving a championship roster. It's so crazy. It's so cool.
This is what we were told, you know, when they hired him, and like it was all the talk was like, you know, Mitch and Jim don't tamper enough. Rob knows how to like he knows how to figure out little cap tricks and, you know, go, you know, let's say like skirt on the gray areas and things like that. And then all of a sudden, like 2 years in a row when he's had the full wheel, like the Lakers have done great in free agency. Like, you know, you can get upset about the Kawhi thing or whatever. Like they had to wait that out. And then they had a great backup plan and built a champion in the aftermath. Like, and you know, when they've had adversity, like Dwight going down, they nailed the, when DeMarcus going down, they nailed the Dwight signing. Like they have, like,
shit, you know, when Dwight left.
Yeah. They get Marc Gasol, who's better.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you crazy. Know, yeah. And they flipped JaVale McGee. You know what I mean? Like they, you know, they have contingency plans upon contingency plans. Like he is in real life Doctor Strange going through with the time stone or whatever. Yeah. Like I try to do with pre-writes, like Rob's actually doing that, but like setting up the deals and getting them ready and stuff like that. And like, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah. On top of everything you're saying, like, I just keep coming back to the emotional connection, the fanhood connection, which like both you and I are, we are not the same kind of fans that we were when we first started doing this, right? Like we are not fans in the same way that we were 7 years ago, however long ago it was. But this kind of stuff where there is that connection to such an emotional thing that we all went through, right? That like everybody, not just Lakers fans, by the way, Lakers fans especially, but everybody across the league is still mourning the passing of Kobe Bryant. But for Laker fans especially, like we're talking about somebody who is sitting right behind me. You know, like I'm recording this every show that I do. Kobe is standing here right behind me. And the fact that somebody who is the godfather to the now past Gianna, like somebody who has such a tie, which by the way, like I'm sure Rob Pelinka really helped kind of smooth the rough sailing that it took to to rekindle the Lakers and Gasol family love that I'm sure was lost, you know. So you're talking about all of these things, and it is just, if the Lakers can win a championship with a Gasol on the roster, with Rob Pelinka putting that roster together, is just, it would be so incredible. And by the way, like, with somebody who, like, LeBron saw Kobe as an equal. There are like four people on the face of this planet that LeBron probably saw that way.
You think there's that many?
I said four, like, as like the lowest number I could think. I'm thinking Magic. I'm thinking Kobe. I'm thinking
MJ.
So I probably overshot it. So there's three people on the face of the planet that LeBron is looking at as peers, and the Lakers found a way to capitalize on that relationship, on that peership, on the fact that they are exceptional. You know, like, we laugh at the idea of Lakers exceptionalism, and yet they proved it exists. You know, Jeremy Grant skipped out on the same amount of money to go to fucking Detroit over staying in Denver. You know, that doesn't happen with the Lakers. You know, the Lakers
Clutch somehow finally got their long multi-year deal for a young wing from Detroit.
The Lakers find ways to get guys to come to them for less money than they might require elsewhere. And
Which is crazy, what a roster for a state looks with like. Income taxes as punitive as California, too.
Right. Well, you know, I would hope that all these guys are smart enough to have residencies in lower income tax states.
I would say it's pretty hard to do that when you're a professional athlete, because you live there for most of the year, so you can't like claim somewhere else.
Ask Derek Jeter. You can do it.
It's very public. Like,
Derek Jeter figured
it
out. The IRS
can figure out which city they play in pretty easily. They can go to Basketball Reference too.
Derek Jeter, I think, bought the Miami Marlins with like the money he saved in taxes by not
offshore tax shelters. Can I say, like, you know, before we wrap this up really quick, like, you know, we talked a little bit about the Gasol X's and O's, whatever. Like, I just didn't want to get out of here without retelling my favorite Mark Gasol story. Like, now that he's finally a Laker, you know, how like 13 years after they drafted him or whatever. And mm-hmm. he never, you know, obviously never played for the team, was dealt in the POW thing. Like, I don't know if I've ever told you this story before, but I heard from someone who actually would know. And I'm not sure if I've told this publicly. I maybe have. And I feel like it's long enough that I can say it. But like Mitch, when he was doing the Gasol trade, from what I have heard, told the Grizzlies that they could take their pick of Mark or Sunyue. And they chose Mark. Obviously, again, like, we can't really go too hard on them for that, because that trade obviously worked out incredibly well regardless. But they might have had like a four towers, you know.
Damn.
Had that not happened. And
think about the way history would be different right now.
Yeah, and like, who knows if Mark develops the same way. He wouldn't have gotten the same opportunities. We know how Phil Jackson treated rookies. Like, Mark might have been out of the NBA for all we know. Like, had this chubby rookie from Spain come over and had just Phil Jackson mentally bully him for 2 years. And then, like, he just decides to
But enough about THT.
Basketball. Yeah, exactly. But, like, it you know, that's what I've heard. And like, that is like, it is kind of crazy that after all that, like, he is finally back in the Laker uniform, like, kind of where he belongs, you know. Like, look, they found him overseas. They called dibs, and they finally get to, you know, bring him over.
I hope Mark gets a championship here in LA. Like, you know, not just, you know, because the Lakers win a championship this year would mean they have one more than the Celtics.
I just want him to wear 16. I think that would be really cool if Powell gave him his blessing and he wore the 16 Gasol. Like, we need a 16 Gasol back, you know, back in the modern uniforms.
God, man, this whole episode, like, the idea of a Gasol backing.
Yeah, it's like, aside from like, this is a huge basketball edition, it's just such a cool, like, you know, like I've been, from an emotional storyline, narrative, like, perspective, to just have a Gasol back, regardless of, like, he genuinely makes this team better and will probably be their starting center as things look right now. Like, and is a really good addition.
I don't know about starting center, but like, either way,
he's going to start over him.
Trez. I think Trez will start.
You think they're going to? I don't think that they're going to start small. I mean, we'll see. But like, I feel like Trez, like, you know, he's reigning sixth man of the year. I feel like they're going to bring him off the bench and give him a chance to repeat.
No, I think he signed. Have I given the theory on, and like some of it is corroborated, but have I given my theory on the Trez signing?
Sure, go for it.
So some of it is theory. Some of it is like I said, somewhat corroborated by like stuff I've heard behind the scenes, but basically like Dwight thought he had an agreement to go back to the Lakers. Right. And he tweeted out that he was going back to the Lakers, and the Lakers like told him after he tweeted that out, the Lakers reached out to him. It's like, whoa, we don't need you tweeting that out. And the reason they told him not to tweet that is because they were trying to convince Trez to come to the Lakers as their starting center, right? As the predominant.
Oh, that's an interesting wrinkle, because that was out there that he had that he had tweeted and they had told him to take it down. It wasn't a real offer yet.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
So they were working. They were, as I know,
that's actually what happened.
Yeah, as I know it, you know, we'll see what else gets reported or whatever. But as I know it,
aggregators. Get on it. I'm not telling you not to do it. Aggregate Anthony. Let's see. Let's see if we can get like an insider to actually dispute it.
I kind of wonder. I wonder if you guys are going to aggregate me on this.
No, I absolutely will not, because I don't trust you.
but as I know it, and I'm like 90% sure that I have this right.
No, and look, Anthony, everything you've reported, you've never actually reported something false yet.
Yeah. I haven't missed.
You're batting like
much.
2 for 2 on scoops lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, like, remember when you and I were going back and forth is like whether or not we want to report that Magic isn't actually in the office very often?
Yeah.
Like that was something that eventually, anyway. But so
you're 3 for 3 then.
So as I have heard it, the Lakers were They told Dwight that, like, if we have a deal, this is what it would look like, right? And Dwight thought that that's what, like, he sent out the tweet thinking that they actually had a deal.
Yeah, that's what Haynes reported as well. So, like, that part we know is, you know, bulletproof.
And then, well, so the Lakers, as soon as he tweeted that out, the Lakers reached out to Dwight. He's like, whoa, no, don't tweet that right now. We don't actually have an agreement because we don't want Trez to look at the rotation and see you and JaVale and AD at his same position, right? So they got him, meaning Dwight, to take down his tweet and back off on the position that they had an agreement, so that Trez would know or would think that he would be their starting center, starting center, that like he would get the bulk of the minutes at center.
Yeah. So that I can see. I can't see them starting games just because AD is so dead set against it. And he ranks higher in the clutch hierarchy.
Well, no. But Trez would like do all of center responsibilities, whether it's like guarding the biggest guy on the other side of the court.
Oh, so their defense is just gonna suck.
And to start the game, well, it's like either they had JaVale out there, right? So like either their defense or their offense is going to suck, right? Whatever it is.
I'm less sure that he will actually start. I do actually buy that as a theory on why that whole thing happened, though.
Yeah, that's as I've
I buy them wanting him to think he might start. I just don't see it actually happening. I think it'll be Mark, but we'll see.
Well, that was always his problem with the Clippers. Was that like he thought he was good enough to start, and that's why he left, was because, you know,
Zubac, oh, this season's going to be an adventure, but I don't want to think about that right now.
Yeah. All right. Now that I've gone out there and stuck my, I wonder if that's going to get aggregated. We'll see.
Let's do it. Make it happen. Bleacher
Report.
Go for
it. If you guys want to aggregate it, fuck it. I'm reporting it that's as I understand that it went down. But we'll
all
see.
Right, how many podcast appearances do I owe you to write it in like a sources said voice for a silver screen roll?
I don't know. I got to gain like an extra 100 pounds to do one win horse. So we'll see.
You don't have to go there.
All right. That's going to do it, dude. I can't believe we're here. I can't believe the Lakers won a championship last year and are like objectively, and I know somebody got angry at me the other day for saying objectively too often. I think they are objectively more fun this year than they were last year, and they won a championship last year.
Yeah, I think that's on paper that looks to be the case. We'll see if they have a starting lineup drama or whatever, and if that actually proves out.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete will be back. Well, no, I think he's going to be back. We'll see. Pete's going to be back tomorrow to talk about people that the Lakers may or may not have signed. We'll see. we'll see how that goes.
Pete's sending his like fifth email to Lakers PR. He's like, can you just please announce it so that I can talk about it? I have podcasts to do.
I'm just going to get like oddly specific with players and see if like without mentioning names, like what if the Lakers sign somebody?
If they could add someone who's kind of like a bulkier Pau Gasol, what would you...
That's going to be the hope tomorrow. So thank you guys very much for tuning into this show. And over the weekend, the emergency podcast that I did apparently did really good numbers, even though I suck so bad at at doing any kind of Periscope thing that nobody watched on Twitter. Well, people watched. I was surprised. Like, people watched that even though I wasn't actually recording anything because I suck at technology. So thank you guys for subscribing and all of that stuff. Please keep those questions coming in because I am eventually going to answer those. We have a fun week planned for you guys this week. And shit, we're like 2 weeks away from camps opening up. So get ready for that. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.